question addressed to Adam in the first reading tonight from the book of Genesis. Where are you? Where are you? I suppose there's different ways that question can be asked or that question can be heard, maybe more specifically. And I can remember one moment in my life where that question was addressed to me. It might not have been those exact words, but it was something like it. It might have actually been a little closer to the other question that was asked, why did you do such a thing? And it happened, I can't exactly even remember how old my sister and I were. We were old enough, I suppose, at least to be left alone. Well, yeah, maybe we weren't actually old enough to be left alone. Because what happened was one or both of us had discovered that thing where you take a penny and you wedge it between your middle finger and your thumb and you snap your fingers and it shoots the penny across the room. And when I talked about this at school mass this morning, I said, don't get any ideas. And sure enough, when I went into went into lunch later on and was visiting with the kids, sure enough, they asked, Father, how do you do that thing with the penny? It's like no, just don't tell anyone I told you that. But my sister and I were doing that thing, you know it, and I took aim, wedged that penny in between my middle finger, my thumb, and snapped my fingers. My sister ducked, and the coin sailed across the room, and it was the dining room, and my mom had these little shelves on the wall, and on each of, there were like four of them, and on each of them was an antique teacup and a little saucer leaned up against the wall with the cup sitting in front of it on the shelf. And that coin struck the edge of that saucer against the wall and took a nice little triangular chip out of the edge of it. And so you can imagine what happened, right? That when my mom got home, I said, Mom, I ask your forgiveness. I was being very irresponsible. No, I did not do that. I took that saucer and I turned it so that the chip was facing down. I put that cup in front of it and thought I was pretty bright. And yet even as I did that, I knew the clock was ticking. And I knew that question would come, where are you? Why did you do such a thing? And I don't know how much time went by, but of course, one day, that question came. Where are you? What have you done? Why have you done such a thing? Now, that's a pretty innocent example, but it really gets to the heart of the problem that God had to solve. Because each and every one of us, you and me, we all bear that wound of original sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve, who realized as soon as they ate that forbidden fruit, they realized their nakedness, they became ashamed, and they began to hide. The scriptures tell us they sewed fig leaves together. They covered their wrongdoing. They tried to cover their sin. My fig leaves that day was turning that saucer and hiding it with the cup. But just as Mom came looking for me one day, God came looking for them and asked, where are you? Why have you done such a thing? Now there's one person for whom God never had to go to them in that tone of voice. There's one person God never had to go to and ask them in that tone, and they never had to hear it in that way of shame. Where are you? Why have you done such a thing? That's who we celebrate today. That's what we celebrate today. This mystery, this amazing truth, this dogma, right? Something that as Catholics we're not free not to believe. That from the moment of her conception, Mary was without sin. She was without that wound of original sin in view of what her son would accomplish on the cross. God applied that grace back to the moment of her conception so that she could be completely immaculate, completely without sin, the one that God could go to, not in the spirit of, what have you done? Where are you? Why did you do such a thing? But someone instead that God could go to and say, where are you? Because I need you. Where are you? I need your help. Where are you? I want you to share in this plan I have to save the world. And she said, yes. There was nothing in her that could have heard that question, caused her to hear that question any other way. Where are you? I have a purpose for you. Where are you? I need your help. God himself, all-powerful, almighty, all-loving, all-knowing God, coming to one of his creatures and saying, please help me in this mission. Where are you? Because I need you. That's just awesome. And the good news is, because she said yes, and because God could begin to work out his plan for her to become the mother of his son, and she did, and she remained faithful, she conceived the Son of God in her womb in faith, and by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, and she stayed with him all the way to the cross when he died for us. She was with his friends in the upper room when the church was born. And she stands by our side to this very moment. And until the end of time, she is our intercessor. She is our queen. And it's just awesome to think about that. Because all too often in our own lives, we hear that question, where are you? Whether it's from God or whether it's from some other person in our life. And we begin to feel shame because we know that we are imperfect. We know that we're sinners. But if we keep Mary at our side, if we keep close to her son, we can become more and more the people. God can come to us. He can come to you and to me and say it. Ask that question, where are you? I need you. You're one of my faithful ones. You're one of the children of the mother of my son. You're one of the friends of my son. And I need you. I have a purpose for you. Now, we'll always be imperfect. We'll always continue to hear that question from time to time in that spirit of, what have you done? And that hopefully when we hear that, we will repent, we'll trust in God's mercy, and we will be healed, whether that's in the sacrament of confession or simply asking his forgiveness for less serious things. I don't know where that teacup thing fell in terms of mortal or venial. I don't know, but... But God wants to come to you and me and say, where are you? I need you. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He's predestined us for his glory, not quite in the same way that he did for our Blessed Mother. But he wants our help. He wants to come to us and to say, where are you? I need you. Stand with me. Stand for my truth. Stand in my love. And not just us, but it's also worth mentioning. You know, we pray so much for our country. We love our country. I love our country. But our country has a lot of ways in which it has pushed God to the side, tried to silence God's, tried to hide, you know, turning that saucer, putting those fig leaves over us, all the ways in which our beloved country, which surrounds us, all the way the culture surrounds us, is hiding from God. God is coming to us and trying to say, where are you? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you not respect innocent human life from conception to natural death? Why would you not respect the way I created you, male and female? Why would you try to confuse little children about that? Why do you ignore the poor? Why do you try to hide from me? Why don't you go to church? Why don't you go to Mass? 3 out of 4 Catholics don't go to Mass every Sunday. Only about 1 in 3 Catholics actually believe the truth about the Eucharist. Where are you? God is asking us. But my brothers and sisters, we get to stand here tonight and we get to say, I'm right here, Lord. I'm right here and I'm grateful, and I'll stand with you, and I'll stand with your mother at my side, because I know that we can sing a new song, for you have done marvelous deeds.